Off the Ball. GAA.
It was magic times, badly needed for Limerick and by that team at the time. And, you know, obviously it kicked us in then to Northern and semi-final after that, which again was territory that that team hadn't seen for a long time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball. GAA.
Yeah, Cyril, how's it going?
Yeah, good, good, thanks.
How's life?
Yeah, it's good. I'm pretty different, I suppose, in the last few years, but I'm enjoying it.
Retirement is one thing, right? But even in retirement, you're still rehabbing injuries, scars from before. What's going on?
Yeah, look, obviously just still rehabbing the ACL. I tore in the All-Ireland final, so it's a slow road, but nearly at the end.
Does that dampen the aftermath of the All-Ireland at all? Or I don't think it did, looking at the celebrations.
Nah, look, I definitely was still able to enjoy myself. Look, it's just part of it. It's a pity I did it, I suppose, but I consider myself, I suppose, very lucky to do it when I did it. I could have done it earlier in the season and not had the chance to finish out my last kind of Dublin season. So to do it in Croke Park, All-Ireland final day, we're winning. Like, it's not the worst.
No. We had a great chat with Carla Rowe and Sinead Goldrick on the football pod in December. Lovely little pub up in Carla Rowe country. And we spoke about the emotion of that win, because there was so much on the line for so many of you, and not that it was a handing over of the baton, but there was a generation maybe that was it.
Yeah, definitely. I think for a lot of us, you know, after the hurt of that 2024 loss to Galway, a lot of us thought that was us done. And yeah, a few of us just decided, sure, let's go one more year. There could be something here. And yeah, look, it ended up brilliantly. The year didn't go brilliantly, I suppose, but we made it work and got the win in the end. And yeah, look, we definitely enjoyed ourselves a few days after.
John Kiley was asked after Limerick won back the Micmackie Cup yesterday. Cork obviously bet them in their own patch last year to win on penalties. And he was asked by a colleague of mine, and I'm not going to do justice to John's answer, it was very eloquent, but he was asked, was that fueled by the defeat last year? And he was trying to make the point that you can't just use defeats, because where does your reference point go after you get by that? Now, I'm not sure how you were throughout your career, but the defeats drive you on?
Yeah, definitely. I think the hurt from 2021 was a big driving factor really? For me for a couple of years, yeah.
Why 21?
For me, first year back with the Dubs, they'd been so successful. I came in, we had a really good year, and then look, we lost to a better team in Meath that day. And I suppose I took a lot of blame and responsibility, I suppose, on myself for that loss and kind of how I performed. But yeah, it was just hard. It was just really hard to get over. I thought we might have had it, and we didn't, you know, and maybe, yeah.
It's not an individual sport, obviously, but I can empathise with that feeling. Did anyone shake that out of you? Because it isn't just on one, like, it's not just on a referee's mistakes, not just on one teammate's mistakes. It's not just on missing something. Like, there's an awful lot that goes into 70-odd minutes of intercounty football or camogie or hurling.
I think I wasn't the only one probably feeling that way. Okay. I think we felt very disappointed as a team and how we performed, both as individuals, but as a collective. And I suppose 2022 didn't help in that we were terrible. And, you know, but 23 was just such a nice surprise, I suppose, for us again. Lost a couple of stalwarts and turned it around as underdogs, which we hadn't been in a very long time.
Is there a want to be an underdog for once?
Yeah, maybe, I suppose. Like, look, obviously Dublin are All-Ireland champions this year. Mm-hmm. And you go into the next year just trying to start afresh, I suppose. But you just don't want to get complacent, I suppose. And you don't want, all eyes are on you. You're being hunted when you're top dog. And some people can't take that pressure, I suppose. And some teams can't take that pressure. But personally, I kind of relish that.
You love that,
I love that. I love playing in the big games. I relish a bit of competition. I love having a bit of a battle with my marker and having the chats. But maybe that's just me.
I'm well aware of the incredible career you've had in sport. But Sinead Cassan had written a brilliant piece with you, I think it was 2 years ago, and she had a line in it about the trifecta of medals you've won, the FAI Cup medal, the Six Nations medal, the All-Ireland title. That's just class.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Sinead's always been pretty good to me with her words, to be honest. But yeah, look.
But there's no getting away from that, Hannah. Like, that is an incredible achievement to have beside your name.
Oh, massively. And like, for me, crazy kind of how they came about, and that I didn't grow up playing rugby. You know, soccer was my sport. I didn't start GAA till I was 13. You know, I was a goalkeeper with Dublin. I walked away from that for a sport I'd never really played before. And yeah, just fell into these teams at the right time. Like, and look, don't get me wrong, I worked incredibly hard in trainings with those teams and off individually by myself to try and be the best version of me and how I can help my team be successful. But I think there's also an element of luck in some of them.
When you're in the middle of it all, in the middle of all that kind of success and chasing success and heartbreak, like, do sports people take stock, or are you just trying to plow through?
I probably did after winning the All-Ireland in 23.
Okay.
But when we won the FAI Cup senior medal in 2011 with my team, I didn't recognise how big a deal that was, even though we'd lost in the final the year before. When we won as Six Nations in 2015, I was only playing rugby a year or so at that point. I'd walked into a team that had done so well at the World Cup the year before. And again, we were successful, and I just thought this is going to be the norm kind of going forward. Unfortunately, we haven't won a Six Nations since. Mm-hmm. But 23 was probably obviously at the other end of my career, and realised how much work, how much effort was going in on and off the pitch, not just by players and squad members, but by management and everyone around that and the sacrifices that were made. So I think it definitely hit home a bit more when we won in 23. And so 25 was just a nice bonus.
What a bonus. We're chatting at the launch of PTSB becoming the title sponsor of the Dublin Leagues and Championships from minor level all the way upwards across all four codes, LGFA, Camogie, Hurling and Gaelic football. A brilliant partnership, and the Dublin Championships are fantastic and so competitive. Will you still be playing ball if you get the rehab through and get back on the field?
Yeah, look, obviously it's brilliant to have PTSB involved. I think it's so important. Club level is where it all begins. You know, it's where we find some of the best players that go on to perform at inter-county level and beyond, and give so much to the community. And for me, the ACL isn't going as well as I'd like, but no, I won't be playing club this year because I'm pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So while I won't be playing, I will be very much involved with my team, trying to help them as much as possible. But I kind of was like, I won't be able to give what I'd like with my knees. So we just went a different path this year.
Wow, that's amazing. You already have a young daughter already.
Yeah, we have Aoife at home. She'll be three in a couple of weeks. And the plan always, I suppose, was when I retired from Intercounty, was that we would look to start to extend our family. And it just kind of worked out at this time for us with my injury and a few other bits that we'd go that way. And we've been very lucky so far that I was able to conceive.
What's life like as parents?
Hectic, chaotic, but yeah, it's amazing. Look, particularly Aoife's at an age now where her personality is in full swing. We're raising her to be a very strong, independent young woman, but she's probably taken that a bit too far. She's a bit too independent, too stubborn. So
that's great, though. You want them to have that, don't you?
I know you do, yeah. Look, it's exhausting, it's tiring, but there's so many amazing moments watching them grow. It's phenomenal. So,
Your wife obviously has a sporting background as well. What's it going to be like for a young girl like Aoife now taking up sport in Ireland in the next couple of years?
Hopefully she has so many different opportunities in different sports. We won't push her. We'll throw her into a few sports to see what she likes. But so far, hurling seems to be her sport of choice. But
she's at the age now where you got to click.
No, look, for her, all she's known her whole life is being involved with some amazing role models in and around the Dubs and other amazing kind of female athletes. So for her, as long as she realises she can do whatever she thinks she can do, and you know that nothing's impossible for her and that doors are open for her, then, and she's happy and healthy, that's all we can ask for.
That's class. And she'll have two great role models at home as well. So, and she'll have plenty of moments from your career to pick through. Is there a highlight across your sporting career that you like to, maybe if you're falling asleep at night and you're not counting sheep, that you like to go back?
No, look, I don't think I'll get a much better performance than my 2023 All-Ireland final. Everything I touched just seemed to be magic. And it's a very unusual feeling. You don't get that very often as an athlete. I don't know. If I could bottle it and sell it, I would. But I just knew from the first ball, the first touch, that everything coming off my foot was going to be good. And
can you feel that feeling if you think of it?
No. I don't even want to call it kind of confidence, but it just, this just, I'm going to win this ball. I'm going to put this over. I have no doubt. I'm going to do what I want to do. Kind of feels like you have the ball on a string. That kind of flow state people talk about. Had it in the first half. Don't know where it went in the second half, but
it was enough.
Yeah. No, look, phenomenal. It's just an amazing kind of 30 minutes of my career that surpasses so many others.
And what a day to do it as well, because it's a different story producing the goods on the biggest day of all.
Yeah, but I love playing at Croke Park. I've always enjoyed Croke Park, the space. My teammates get me the ball and can't do it all myself, you know, but I've always loved it. Just been somewhere I probably feel like home.
Life has obviously been busy. You're a teacher as well. So you're flat out, but do you miss the bubble of dressing rooms? Because you've always been in and around really competitive, high-achieving dressing rooms.
Yeah, and I think that was a big fear of mine when I was kind of retiring. Like, what do I do now? Or kind of how do I fill my time and this, that, and the other? And just that kind of gap that was going to be there, because it was such a part of my life for so long. But the ACL, I suppose, hasn't given me as much time and freedom as I would have liked. And I'm actually kind of in with the Dubs, doing a bit of rehab here and there. So that's actually been a really nice soft transition for me. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's great. And look, it's amazing. I'm very privileged to be in that position. I try to give back, just trying to help the girls out. And I bring Aoife to the sessions to give everyone a smile. And yeah, it's been a really nice kind of couple of months for me.
Did a smashing win yesterday out west. Hey Joe, burying a couple of goals. I know there would have been disappointment in the Heatherton household on Saturday evening. I think Ciarán was getting a helicopter over to Mayo then to watch Niamh in action with the team. She buried two goals, player of the match, I think.
Yep.
That Dublin team, is it very different to the Dublin team of 21 and 23? Or am I unfair with that? Were they already there?
There's a load of new faces in this year, and I suppose that just goes with time. You're going to get new players in, a couple of players hanging around, but there's still a huge leadership group there and a group of girls who are so experienced and have kind of 3, 4, 5 All-Irelands in there with them. But that's just time. Time changes, and hopefully, you know, we've been good enough role models over the last number of years that we've inspired young girls to take up the sport, and they're now pulling on a senior Dublin jersey and kind of representing the county and being given their opportunity. And it's a long season. They've had a couple of ups and downs, but yeah, great win yesterday to start off the All-Ireland series and roll on Donegal on Saturday.
What impact are the new rules having on the game? What do you think?
It's brilliant. I think they've been fantastic. Great to watch. I think the game's been a lot more open and exciting. And for all counties, you know, we're seeing some brilliant, brilliant goals and stuff. The Solon goal has been phenomenal. Amy Mackin scored a brilliant goal there at the weekend. And, you know, there's not many better finishers than her. And, you know, the likes of her and high IQ players like Orla Nolan are just relishing that Solon goal. And as someone who played inside, the kind of three up, three back and gig has just created so much space. It's stopped teams from doing a complete full defensive blanket, which would have always frustrated me. And then, yeah, the two-pointer just opens it up. We haven't seen it hugely, I suppose, in the women's game.
You'd have fancied that, no?
Yeah, I would have. But, it is what it is. But, yeah, maybe in club.
Yeah.
But, I think it's great. The biggest one, the tackle. Just the game is flowing an awful lot more now in terms of the tackle.
It needed that.
Yeah, and we've been calling for that for years. The physicality of it, the laws of the game. And I think for referees, it's probably a lot easier for them now because particularly the interpretation of the charge, both from a player's perspective and then from the referee's perspective, was differing from game to game, and it was very frustrating. And at times it was probably the changing of the game. And
it overtaken.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And
the physicality of players, the development of players.
Yeah. So I think, look, it was much called for, and we're seeing huge, huge change. The game's much more free-flowing, as right. I said, so long ago. It was brilliant, and yeah. Keep it up.
Big steps in the right way. Look, there's loads that we could chat about. I'm not going to keep it too much longer because you've been very good with your time. But like, I know you've stepped into the world of punditry, and you know you did a great piece of us in the Football Pod a couple of years ago. And I knew you were going to be a natural in that regard. Whenever you hung up the boots, the many boots. What sport do you most like watching or assessing? And you know, we obviously saw the Irish women's team have an unbelievable win on Friday night in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And
yeah.
You know, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on the hurling championship for the Gaelic football championship.
Yeah, look, I love to watch the hurling. I just think it's so exciting.
What about it? Like, what about it do you love?
Just how quickly it can change. Obviously, the Cork-Limerick game was back and forth. Like, even just how the keepers are actually saving shots in this day and age is phenomenal.
Reckless, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, I'd probably end up watching the most rugby.
Okay.
Over the course of the season, it's probably the most games that I'd see. Why is that?
Is that because when you were a player, you consume so much?
Yeah, and I think like I'm still just massively into it. I watch all of the Leinster games as much as I can. I try and catch the Munster game. Any of the kind of Irish provinces, I try to watch as much as I can. And then I'm involved in women's and men's Six Nations. Mm-hmm. But I also still, like I spent all weekend watching the Bordeaux Sevens that were on, you know, and even though the players have changed, I'm just so heavily invested and I love watching the game and analysing it and kind of things like that. So I definitely would analyse rugby the most. I watch GA for the pure enjoyment of it and everything else, but rugby, I'd kind of sit there and be like, oh, I should have done this or would have done that. And yeah.
Class. That's really interesting. And just the last one, it's a bit of a random one, so roll with me on this one. But I was curious to get your thoughts on, you know, maybe the fan culture in the GA and maybe the development of it, because, you know, I've been covering the Cork Hurlers and they've sold out, you know, 12 months championship or 12 championship games in a row, which is just ridiculous. You know, we've seen the women's game in Gaelic football go to such heights, I think pre-COVID maybe, yeah, you know, breaking records with north of 40,000 at matches, and that'll start growing again. And then the Dublin footballers, you know, from the peaks and the highs that they were at, you know, there was, I think, 16,000 at their semi-final against Loud the last day. What's your perspective on all of that? And I know it's different, there's costs involved too, but
yeah,
what do you think of the fan culture in Gaelic games?
Yeah, look, I think in some counties you have absolute, you have fanatics in every county, but yeah, some counties since have bigger followings of fanatics. I know Armagh have been,
it's crazy, yeah,
selling out games and everything else like crazy, and trying to get a season ticket up there is mental. The Munster Hurling Championship has had, you know, huge support over the last number of years, and Dublin's probably been up and down, but the men and the women's. Yeah, I suppose, like, with the Dubs, it's quite hard. You're being pulled in so many different directions. We talked about, like, the Hurlers had a brilliant attendance there and they're on the rise up. Mm-hmm. Whereas the footballers probably aren't drawing in the same attendances that we would have liked over the last number of years. And it is a frustrating one. You look at the economy and go, is it that people just can't afford it anymore and they're being priced out? Or is it that they're not enjoying the level of football that they're seeing? Or maybe they don't feel as attached to this current team as maybe they did with the Dubs, obviously, that had so much success in the last number of years. I think it comes from probably underage up. Like, when you're young and underage, are you being brought to games? Are you kind of falling in love with that game? You see when people come here to Parnell Park and they're bringing the hurls. I don't live too far from Crow Park and we were watching people head to the Leinster final there on Saturday. And I actually saw a grown man bring his hurl.
Class.
Which I think is mad. Like, and I just was like, why is he bringing his hurl?
And is that going to cause rows? Like yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's hardly going to, yeah, is he allowed to bring it in, first of all? But two, it's not actually, like, he's allowed to go and have a puck about at half time.
I don't know.
And, you know, but that's a, like, has he been bringing his hurl to games since he was a young lad and been allowed to Parnell Park and on at half time and stuff, yeah, like that? And are we bringing young guys and girls to the games as much, or has life got too busy if they got their own games on and, you know, all this sort of stuff? And is that having a big impact, that people are just a little bit too busy now that they can't make as many games that they'd like?
Maybe. Yeah, it's interesting. We're looking over here and it's the hill and there's like a tee full of Hef orders, a fella painted in blue, it's flags, it's class.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe the seasons have changed,
yeah,
in these sports as well,
and
rules have changed, and, you know, maybe television rights are all different. It's just, yeah, no, it's an interesting one. Very last one, and it's only because, you know, you've such a wealth of knowledge on all these sports. The AFLW and the fact that it sounds like there's going to be an international rules game. Mm. To neutral, it sounds class. What's your perspective on that and even on the impact it's having on the game? Because obviously it's had a big impact in the Dublin dressing room too.
Yeah, huge. Look, I suppose there's two sides to it from my perspective, in that one, you cannot begrudge a lot of these girls going over an opportunity to, yeah, make a living, travel the world, live in beautiful kind of conditions and sunny weather. You know, but you also, it's so disappointing because you want to have the best players playing Gaelic football here at home. And it's such a privilege to represent your county and go and try win in All-Ireland. And we want nothing more but for them to be playing for their respective counties. But then again, you see the other side of it. Like, as someone who left Gaelic football to go play rugby, I, mm-hmm, completely understand it. I would just hope that those players one day come back and contribute to their county. The Aussie rules or the international rules is brilliant. We have a load of girls over there who are actually one of the best at playing that, yeah, sport over there. So I do think it'd be an incredible competitive match. I also think it would be brilliant if the Irish won against the Aussies. But we'll see how that goes.
That'd be fun. Did you ever You might have answered this before. Was there temptations? Was there?
Yeah, oh, look, there was huge temptations. I have a couple of siblings living over there. So definitely was kind of, if I was going, was looking to go towards Melbourne, had a few kind of offers and interests and this, that and the other. But just timings didn't work out. I was at the end of my career, you know, had a child and a house and mortgage. It's difficult, you know, to walk away, not just for me, but obviously to ask my wife to do the same.
Yeah.
And if I was younger, it would have been great. But yeah, look, I can't complain. I've had an amazing career.
Well, look, you had the trifecta. Yeah. It might be greedy going for the Premiership medal as well. Hannah Tyrrell, chatting to us at the launch of PTSB's partnership and backing of the Dublin League and championships across all four codes. I think the draws are tonight, so we'll keep an eye on that. Thanks so much, and congrats on the recent news as
Thank you very much.
Great to catch up.
Cheers.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks. Off the ball. GAA.